Hey, it's Lisa Ann here. Thanks for joining me on another episode of the More Than Social podcast. I'm a digital marketing expert, self-development junkie, and your go-to for all things marketing, ads, and automation. I'm so excited that you popped by to hang out with me today. So let's dive right into the topic. If you are working in an industry that isn't necessarily the funnest industry or the most exciting to market, I am so excited for you to listen to today's episode. I have Cindy, who is actually one of my clients, and I wanted to have her on here to explain all the different things that she's doing within her business. And she's in the accounting industry. So I'm assuming most people would think, well, accounting is boring. Why would I listen to this episode? We're talking all things about creating passive income through online courses, doing in-person events, like different things that you wouldn't think to do within this industry, but she wanted to be someone different. And she is someone totally different in terms of how she is showing up within her business. And one thing that I really wanted to point out, she has gotten 80% of her clients right now through Instagram. And we have grown her email list from 200 to over 1,200 people, probably even more at the time that you're actually listening to this now. So she has a wealth of knowledge to share, not just accounting stuff, not just tax stuff, like so much business information that anyone could apply to their business. And I know it's going to inspire you to look a little bit different of how you are doing things within your business and think a little bit outside the box. So let's dive right into it. Let me bring Cindy on. Hey, Cindy, welcome to the More Than Social podcast.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me here today.
Of course. I'm so excited to dive into how entrepreneurs in general, business owners can save more money, which I know we're going to talk a lot about today. And I know our listeners are really going to appreciate that from you. But before we dive into more the saving money side of things, I would love for you to explain who you are, what you do, and how you got into business in the first place.
So I'm the CEO of Elevated Accounting. I started my business about a year and a half ago. I've been in the accounting industry for 10 years now, with having my CPA designation for about five. And I've worked at many different firms. I've worked at small firms, one of the big four firms. And I just felt like I was just missing having a purpose on why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I was mostly doing like behind the scenes work. And I really just wanted to work directly with clients and have a meaningful impact on their business. There's so much you can do to provide your clients value besides just filing a tax return for them. And that's what led me to looking into what's more I could do with my CPA designation. And that's when I started doing more research on things that I actually enjoyed doing and what I didn't like doing anymore. And I started researching and I found that there was such a gap in the market for the education aspect. When someone's starting up a business from an accounting and tax perspective, they often hear things from friends and family that aren't entirely true, or it doesn't even apply to their situation. And there's so much misinformation out there. And even when like someone is looking at the CRA website, like it's overwhelming to read and try to understand. Even as a CPA, like I have to read through it various times too to make sense of what they're actually saying. And it's not user-friendly. And as entrepreneurs, like we're so passionate about what we do, but the finance side is where most people are struggling. And in order to grow and scale your business, you need to understand what the numbers are telling you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like when you first start a business, you have to wear all the hats, right? So it's like you have to be the accountant, the bookkeeper, the actual marketer for your business, the HR, the whatever it is that you actually do from a service side of things or even a product side of things. So it's hard when you first get started. But out of curiosity, why did you go down the route of helping entrepreneurs versus like just personal taxes? And I know just because we work closely, you do both, but essentially you more focus on the business side of things. Is it because of the lack of the knowledge out there, or like what drew you down that path?
I feel like you could go to like any accountant and they can do your tax filing and enter your numbers in, but the real value is helping entrepreneurs like understand like how much money they're spending, how much money are they earning on a monthly basis, where they can cut costs. A lot of entrepreneurs don't even know what they can write off in their business, and they're losing out between like $5,000 to $30,000 of write-offs because they just don't know. And even when someone is working with an accountant, they feel intimidated by the process. And it's like, they don't even know what kind of questions to even ask.
It's wild to me that you say, like, some people don't know. Like, so I don't know if you know this, but when I went to school originally in university, I was going to be an accountant. Like, that was my initial path.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I dropped out and I was like, you know what, this isn't for me, but I always loved numbers, hence why I do digital marketing. It's still a numbers game at the end of the day. But I don't know if it's because I've always been a numbers person that I've just always been so aware of all the numbers happening within my business, but I don't want to say I can't understand, but I've never been in this situation where like people just don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's totally common.
And like, do you find there's like a certain industry that isn't as aware, or is it just like just people in general?
I think people in general, but I feel like it's more women because a lot of times in families, like men handle the finances and everything. Like I have younger women in their early 20s starting up like their lash tech businesses, like hair and makeup. And they've always had their parents like take their tax information, get it filed. But now they want to like really understand what's going on in their business. How do they take it to the next level? So it's really inspiring and so empowering seeing younger women starting up these businesses and want to be in full control of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's amazing to see just young people in general starting their own business. Like it's definitely a growing industry, especially obviously since COVID, more and more people have started businesses. Now, when you first started your business, obviously you're the accounting side of things. So you definitely had a clear understanding of your numbers and books and all that stuff. Out of curiosity, is there any part of your business when you first started that you struggled with?
Just putting myself out there and getting out of my comfort zone. Like as an accountant, people think like you're boring, and like even the industry, like public practice, it's like you work for a firm, you file taxes. Not many firms are posting like social media content, providing education tips like on reels and stuff. And I felt like that was something new that I was testing out and just wanted to see like how it would grow. And just posting consistently, I feel like has helped my business grow, where 80% of my clients come from Instagram directly.
80%. Wow. Yeah. That's actually awesome. Now, little backstory for everyone listening. Cindy and I work together. We are setting up an online course for her. We have paid ads going for her. So like there's a lot more behind the scenes stuff that I want to talk about shortly. But out of curiosity, has it always been Instagram for you? Has that been like the main platform?
I have tried like LinkedIn. I've tried TikTok. But I feel like the most engaged community and supportive people and where my clients are coming from has been Instagram. So I feel like
which is interesting.
It is, yeah. And I feel like younger people are more open to like learning more about why and how to do things rather than just having like a tax return or something prepared for them.
Yeah. Okay. And then totally switching gears completely. When someone is doing their own taxes, so you mentioned that a lot of parents would do their taxes like as the people are growing up, for instance, and my mom did my taxes in the beginning until I started a business. That's when I got an accountant. What if there was a business owner listening right now and they were doing their own taxes? What's it called? There's like the different TurboTax, I think it's called, like
the common one.
Like programs like that. Like what is really the difference between hiring an accountant like yourself versus just using this online program that is designed for it?
I feel like working with an accountant, they know like specific tax schedules, and like you provide them information and they automatically like click like this person's eligible for these kind of credits. Also, when someone runs a business, how my process works is that they'll send me all their information and then I would go through it, enter it into the software. And then there's so many additional things that they haven't thought about, or maybe they like their home office calculation isn't accurate. So it leads me to look at like what's kind of going on in their business and additional write-offs that they're missing out on, and helping them build like certain aspects and foundations going forward as well. So if they send me like all their invoices and stuff and they want me to track it for them, I'll provide them with like an Excel template and teach them how to do like their own bookkeeping going forward, and provide them with like a tax write-off category sheet, which they can keep on hand and work through throughout the year. So they know exactly what they're getting and what they can focus on.
So then from a strategy standpoint, and I hear this all the time, it's, and you kind of mentioned it, is there's like one side of it where you just submit your taxes and you upload the documents, but then there's the whole strategy behind it from a scaling perspective. What type of conversations do you have with entrepreneurs to scale their business, and whether that's setting up the foundation to scale or whether even, let's just say they're scaling rapidly within their business, like what conversations do you have with these people?
A lot of times like their sales are growing significantly and then they're losing money because they're paying just as much on certain things and not really looking at like the cost to income ratio. Like I had conversations last week with two business owners, their income's growing significantly, but they're paying like just as much in like subcontracts and employees. And it's like your sales should be growing more than what you're paying as costs. And really understanding that if your employees are doing more work and it's costing you more, are you really charging enough for that certain service or product?
Interesting. So is there like a formula that you would recommend? So if someone is, let's say they're at the baseline and they have a specific amount of expenses versus profit as they're scaling, like I can totally understand what you're saying. It's like, as you're growing, as you're getting more projects, you also need more workload from your subcontractors, employees, whatever it's going to be for you. But how do you know what is the right ratio?
What I usually do is take the total cost and divide it by the total income. And then it gives you a percentage of how much income you're actually spending on that certain cost.
Oh, okay. And is that how you would help people price things properly too?
Yeah, so I get an understanding of like how much they're currently charging, like how they even came up with those kind of prices. And then breaking it down like monthly. So we get an understanding of like how much income they're earning month to month, what their costs kind of look like. And sometimes a lot of people charge by project too. And then they're not really looking at how many hours are involved. So sometimes breaking the total income for that project divided by total hours, it gives them a better understanding of how much they're actually charging per hour. And does it make sense? I was working with two wedding planners and we broke down their packages based on how many hours they're spending. And they were only earning $25 an hour.
Oh, wow.
So that was really eye-opening for them.
So that's really low.
And they weren't really tracking their hours either.
Yeah, and I can see that happening. Like, I mean, I do a lot of just set packages based on what we're doing. And sometimes it's hard to actually define how many hours it's actually going to take to do a project. Or, I mean, from a wedding standpoint, like, yeah, they're there for 8 hours, whatever the case may be. But when someone's first getting started, just from a pricing perspective, how would you recommend choosing the right starting place?
That's a good question. So it really like depends on where they want to position themselves in the market. I know a lot of people look at like industry averages. They look at competitors that offer similar products and they price based on that. But I know a lot of people like they have those limiting beliefs like I'm new in business, I'm inexperienced, I can't charge that much. And then they end up charging like a lower fee. And then it just becomes harder to increase your prices later because you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's feeling comfortable, but also if it's like a month-to-month service, for example, if you start increasing your pricing, then it's the whole fear of, well, am I going to lose my clients? And then like it's kind of like a snowball effect from there. And I see that happen with a lot of my students with my programs. It's they're scared to make that leap. And I've definitely been there too, like years ago now. But it's hard to make that jump, but it's hard to see that value in yourself, which I know you work on a lot of personal development too, right?
Yeah, I do. And like, even for myself, I struggled on the pricing aspect too, where like first year business, like I priced myself super low. And then over time, I really understood like I'm providing like a really high value service that a lot of accountants aren't providing. And I know I can save my clients between $5,000 to $30,000 on like write-offs and things that they haven't really thought about, or transitioning from being self-employed to incorporating. And it's just like over time you build that confidence too. And then you realize that I am providing like a premium service and I should be charging for that. And then as entrepreneurs, like usually it's like you're wearing all the hats in your business and there's a time constraint on how much work you can actually do. So really understanding that like people that work with you need to understand the value you provide. And then it reduces the amount of clients you're working with. You can charge a premium and it frees up more of your time too. And then you can kind of decide over time, like what kind of clients are a good fit for you, which ones aren't. And can you refer those clients that aren't a good fit to you to someone else instead?
Which is honestly a really nice feeling when you get to that spot where you're like, no, you're not the right client for me. And I find a lot of people have to set like really strong boundaries. I know we've talked about setting boundaries when you do get to the point that you're so busy. Like, I think I saw you had like 8 discovery calls yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like with tax season coming up now, everyone's like getting a head start on planning for their taxes and looking for services, which is great. But it's like you can only take on so many clients.
Yeah. And so how are you finding the whole scaling your business, but also like, have you found a strategy now that you've been following that's kind of one, setting boundaries with clients, but two, also still making time for yourself?
I feel like outsourcing aspects that I don't feel comfortable doing, like working with you for like doing the ads, helping me with the webinars and with my course. I have someone hired that does my social media management as well, and just focusing on what I do best. And for the consulting side, I was doing a lot of one-on-ones. And what I found was a lot of times it was the same kind of questions that people had, which led me to thinking, how can I help more people in like a short amount of time, which is where the course idea came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you can make a bigger impact when you do have a course. And actually, I love to switch gears talking more about your course now. Obviously, I have my course and I've had my course now for over 5 years, I think it was, maybe 6 years now, which is wild to say. But same thing with me. When I first started my business, it was all one-on-one clients. And at a certain point, it's like, I remember when I had, I think it was like 45 clients at one time. Oh, wow. And you obviously work with me, so you know what I do. So it's like, imagine 45 of you. And it's just like me by myself at this point, like didn't have a team, nothing. And it's like, wow. I drove myself mad. I lived at my parents' at the time. I'd wake up at like 7 a.m. I get a quick workout in, and then I would be at the dining room table, yeah. Not mine, my parents' dining room table. And I would be there from like 8 a.m. until about 10:30 at night. Did not stop. Like no lunch, nothing, just I had to just keep going and going and going and going. And before we started this episode, we were talking about how all the days just kind of blend. Like it's Monday, Thursday. I have no idea. Typically at that time in my life, literally Monday through Sunday, it was a blur. Like whatever time it was, a blur. So it's like you get to this point where you can only do so much. You hit this ceiling. But it's like just because you hit a ceiling as a business owner doesn't necessarily mean that you want to, one, stop growing your business, two, not make any more money, and three, not the most important one in my opinion, is not make an even bigger impact. So it's like having an online course is such an amazing way to be able to make a bigger impact, but also free up more time for yourself to either live your life or work with more premium clients. So it's like when you were thinking about your course, and I know we've gone back and forth from a few different options, what was your first thought around your course from a deliverable aspect? Like we talked about having like this really long course and now it is what it is.
Yeah, I feel like when I first started working with you is like I knew I wanted to get a course in, but I don't know, something was just holding me back and like I had no idea like what the outline or what it was going to be. And then I actually spoke to like another coach. We just like connected over Instagram and another community, and she gave me the idea of just testing out the content that I want to use and just doing like a 4-week live coaching. And I was like, yeah, that's such a good idea. And January is like the perfect time to do it. So it was like in the spur of the moment, it's just like, just launch that. I was able to get about 12 people signed up and it was just so great, like getting feedback and testing out the content that I wanted to use. And then from that is just like, let's make a course out of this. Like instead of focusing on the lengthy, long course, let's start with this. I'm sure like from this, we can grow it to something bigger, but I feel like I just need to get it out there so I can help more entrepreneurs right away.
Mm-hmm. And your story and just the journey that you've gone through, so many people go through that same thing. So to clarify, so Cindy had an idea of a 12-week course, and that's when we first started connecting. And it was all laid out. She had this perfect idea. Then all of a sudden, she wasn't necessarily recording it. So then she was like, okay, I'm going to try this 4-week program with my clients live. And she did that. And then now she's kind of pushed the 12-week program aside because she has a proven product that is getting her clients results. And now that is what we're turning into her online course. So sometimes you come up with this idea, and I find most people will come up with this idea and they implement it before they actually test it. But if you can reverse it, you test the strategy first, you already know what's working. And when you do it live, one of my favorite things with it, and I know you're experiencing it now, is you get specific questions during the live format, and you can see either where people are stuck or where they're asking more to dive in deeper. And that is when you then go back and re-record everything, and then that's when you can put it into a pre-done course versus having to do it live all the time.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it's given me feedback on additional things I can add into the 4 weeks, which is like amazing. And like, I've gotten great testimonials. I have a video testimonial coming up, and I just feel like it's so great to be able to share that with so many more people rather than just doing one-on-one and limiting myself on how many entrepreneurs I could work with.
So I'm curious, and I feel like I know the answer just because I'm helping you work on this, but for everyone else, so you're in an industry, and you've even said it before, it's kind of a boring industry, not the most exciting. It's something that even like people, even myself, they're like, oh, I don't know how you deal with numbers all day, or don't know how you do this. Like, but when you get into it, you're just passionate about it. But from a course perspective, how did you create it in a way that, so it's all about getting like organized with your taxes and everything within the foundation of your business, but how did you organize it in a way that it could speak to multiple industries?
Just simplifying like examples and having like easy activities where anybody can do it. And it doesn't feel so overwhelming dealing with taxes. It's like all about like, I have easy to use templates and like a walkthrough guide. And it's just super easy to use. And a lot of times when people think about accounting and taxes, it's like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. Like, it's overwhelming. I just don't know where to start. Or I don't even know what kind of questions to ask. But working through that gives you like a good foundation on like how to set your business up for success. Where after the course, it's just like a couple hours each month, just filling out your month to month, your actual tracking, your budgets, and just comparing like your budgets to your actual results. And just tweaking your budget as you go, because things change. Maybe you estimated a certain amount of income for a month, but you ended up hitting more. And it's like, what do your costs look like for those months? And then just playing around with it. A lot of times people have subscriptions that they pay for because they signed up for a trial, but they forgot to cancel it. And it's like, if you're not looking at your statements, like you could be paying for things that you're not even using. And a lot of times when people start, they collect e-transfers from their clients, but if you're not looking at your statements on a month-to-month basis, how do you know, how do you track, or how do you know if those clients even paid you the correct amount, if they even paid you? It becomes a lot harder 12 months later to go to someone you worked with back in January saying, I invoiced you like $1,000, you only paid me $500, just a deposit only, like you owe me an additional $500. Like, it just becomes so much harder at that point to go back and collect money.
Amazing. And so with your course, from a back-end perspective of running your business, so you're going to have your course, then you also have your one-on-one clients, and then you also do online, not online events, but you also do in-person events. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so as a female entrepreneur, and I just felt so lonely on my journey, and it was so hard to like connect with people. Like, I would go on Eventbrite and look for events for women like in Vancouver, and I would just go by myself. Like, it was totally like pushing myself out of my comfort zone, because I want to connect with women that run their own businesses, experience the same kind of challenges. And like, with providing virtual services and working from home, like, it gets lonely because you're just dealing with people through your computer. And like, I just miss that personal like connection. And so I started off with going to events in Vancouver, and then it became exhausting trying to like plan out, because I live in Abbotsford, it's about an hour away from Vancouver. So like, just planning ahead of time, like an hour drive there, getting ready and stuff, and then an hour back. And it just became like a time consuming process. And I just felt like locally where I live, there's no events where women can just come connect, have fun, and just hang out. A lot of times when you go to networking events, it's like so professional, so intimidating. And then it's like, you only speak to a certain amount of people, and it's just hard to like walk up to people and start introducing yourself and talking. So I just wanted to create like an event where women can just come connect with other women and just have like ice-breaking networking games where it becomes easier to talk to people. And I hosted an event in October last year and it had a great turnout. I had no expectations. I didn't know if anyone would even attend, and I had about 40 women come out. And then I had events in January and February as well, and it was about like 20 to 15. And it's just so nice to have more women coming out, getting out of their comfort zone and just connecting. And I feel like I just want to create a community where women can just hang out, have fun without judgment, and then also providing them with resources for like finances, health, and wellness, because everything's so connected.
One, from the lonely aspect of being just an entrepreneur, like everyone feels it, but I feel like from social media, you only see
the good parts,
the good stuff. You only see the highlight reels of what's actually happening. But like, there's days, yeah, you're just there by yourself for days even without actually talking to someone, or only talking to someone behind a computer. I actually joined a networking group almost 5 years ago now because of the exact same reason. Like, yeah. It was for 4 years I was home by myself and I was working on my computer behind Zoom. Like, yes, I was able to travel a lot, which is amazing, but it's like eventually you're just like, I just want to be beside a human, like not just see them through the camera. So like, I totally get that. But I think it's amazing what you're doing. One, from a female entrepreneur, just bringing everyone together. But it's like, when people think of an accountant, not to be stereotypical at all, but like, people are like, oh, they're boring, they just like numbers, like they don't talk, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you are doing so many things outside of the box that many accountants aren't, like whether their own accounting firms or if they work at an accounting firm, it's just like, they're all about numbers. But you, from my opinion, you're all about creating the community, giving back, like helping more people really succeed. And I think it's amazing what you're doing. So one, thank you. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of your journey. Now, mm-hmm. I am curious at going back to the whole Instagram side of things. You said 80% of your clients are coming through Instagram, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What has been your biggest struggle on Instagram? And what has been your biggest win so far, besides just getting clients off of Instagram? Like, what do you think from like a personal side of things?
From the personal side, like at the beginning, it was hard to like come up with like content. Like, I'd look for like other accounts for inspiration. And then I just got to a point where like, I want to create something that's authentic and me. So now it's like the content just flows. And it's so much easier to just like record a video of me talking and just post it. Before, I would like watch it for hours and feel like totally uncomfortable and just like felt like cringed out on like hearing myself talk. And now it's just like this information is helping so many people. So I just need to post it. And over time, like, I think the big thing is just being consistent with it. Like, I'm posting every single day. I'm getting like a lot of like direct messages and conversations started in my like feed and stuff. And it's just so nice to connect with people that I wouldn't be able to connect if it was just like in person trying to find people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's so impactful when you actually think about it. Like, I feel like people get so caught up with the numbers. It's like, okay, I had 200 views on my reel today or 1,000 views on my reel today. And like, people are like, oh, why is it not going viral? Like, why wasn't it more than that? And it's like, okay, if you go back to your events for a second, and if you can turn that reel into your event and you had 200 people come to your event, you're going to be like, wow, that's amazing, right? So it's like, so many people get caught up on the number, but I love what you said. Just like, people need to hear what you have to say. And I used to be the person that would actually send my video to my sister or my friends and be like, is this okay? Yeah. And it's like, should I post this? Like, I don't know. And it's like, we all go through it, but at a certain point, you just like, I don't care. I'm just going to put it out there. So it's a journey for sure. It's a love-hate relationship for sure. But it's like, when you think of it from the mindset that you just said, that it's people need this information, I think that is what's truly going to help you really succeed in the online world, along with obviously all the other things that you're doing within your business and setting up on the back end. Now, I have two more questions for you.
Okay.
I know I'm just picking your brain at this point. Okay, first question I have is, so we have set up like online checkout pages and everything within the CRM that we use for you. I would love to know from an accounting side of things how that has impacted your business in either a positive way, tracking way, like negative way, like, I mean, hope it's not negative, but positive way. How is that impacting you? And from an accounting perspective, why should other people be setting up online checkout pages versus, let's say, e-transfers?
Yeah, for sure. So with a sales page, I feel like it's so much easier to track on your end on what's going on and who's signing up. You get like their emails, and those checkout pages have also helped me build up my email list as well. Like, I remember when I started with you, I was at like probably about 200. And then as soon as we got those sales pages and things running, I think I'm at like 1100 to 1200 people now, mm-hmm. which is like amazing, because when you're trying to grow organically, it's hard to keep up with like emails and people you're speaking to. So it's nice to have those funnels and things set up where it's just tracking on its own and it's less time consuming for me.
Couldn't agree more. I think people underestimate the power in systems. Like, yes, organic marketing is really impactful. And because you are so consistent on social media, because you know exactly who you want to talk to, like, you had a really solid foundation before we even started working together. I know that is making a huge impact as to why your ads run extremely, extremely well. Like, you're getting results that people were getting, like, 3 or 4 years ago that now they're like begging for the lead cost that you're getting. So I'm very happy with the results that you're getting and the, like, the growth of your email list. Like, we see it like every day, you're like 80 more people, whatever the number is, but it is relatively high. And it's like that database of people that you are building at the end of the day, the next event that you have, the, when your course officially launches, the next webinar that you do, the next anything that you do within your business, you're not just talking to the 200 people now, you're talking to eventually thousands and thousands of people. So it's this snowball effect, but the work that you've done organically has definitely been helping that. Now, going to the second question, to save money within our business, you mentioned before subscriptions. So it's so easy to just have so many subscriptions in your business, but just looking at the clients that you've worked with, what are the three biggest either places that people miss out on from a savings perspective? Like, you mentioned $5,000 to $30,000 in savings working with you. Like, that's huge. It's like, what are they actually doing?
Right. Yeah. So like the top three things I see people miss out on is their home office. Like, you're paying property taxes, mortgage interest, or if you're renting, you're paying all these utilities. And a lot of people are working more from home now than in a physical office. So it's like really understanding the square footage of your office space compared to a total square footage of your home. Let's say it's about like 30%. Well, 30% of like all your home expenses you can claim in your business.
Which is great. What about cleaning person?
Yeah, cleaning for sure.
I was just trying to think. I was like, okay, what else can I add in here? And I saw that you posted, it was one time on your Instagram, I believe. I think you mentioned buying clothes for a photo shoot. You cannot write that off, right?
Yeah, that's correct. But if you get like your makeup, hair, your nails done for that specific reason, you can claim.
But why
that.
Not the clothes then?
The clothes, according to CRA, you could wear them like on a daily basis.
Okay.
Outside of your work as well. Whereas like if you need like a specific uniform or like scrubs or something, you're only wearing that for business purposes. Okay.
But if it's a business outfit that I wouldn't necessarily wear again, unless I was going to a business meeting, I'm just like, hey, can I go shopping?
Proof with CRA. I mean, like, you could totally claim it if you wanted to, but if CRA audited you, then you need to have like supporting documents and like proof that you only wore it that one time.
Cindy's like, no, just don't do it. Okay. Yeah. Don't go shopping unless you want to pay for it personally. Okay, fine. But hair, makeup, and nails. I never thought about nails. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that you can write off that I know you're going to talk about your guide in a second, but there's so many things that you can write off that people don't even think about. And I think, like you said before, like, that is the value of really talking to someone like yourself versus just trying to do it yourself. So I can personally appreciate that. I'm sure a lot of people listening to that can appreciate this. Now, your guide, I just mentioned it. I kind of threw it out there for you, but tell us about your tax write-off guide.
Yeah, so this tax write-off guide has like a list of 100 write-offs you can claim in your business. A lot of times, like, we think of like the basic ones, but we miss out on so many. So it's nice to have this guide where you can just go through it and you can think, okay, like, I can write this off, but I didn't get this, or I do have receipts somewhere, I just have to go and find them. And that way you're claiming everything possible. Another thing that people miss out on is mixing up like meals and entertainment and client gifts. So client gifts are like 100% deductible, whereas meals and entertainment are only 50%. So if you start mixing client gifts with your meals and entertainment, you're losing out on a 50% deduction. And the reason meals and entertainment are only 50% deductible is because CRA considers there to be like a personal component for you.
Interesting. Question about the gifts. Is there like, can it be any type of gift that you can give a client?
Yeah, anything. As long as you have receipts and like you document on the receipt, like who you give that gift to and what the purpose was.
Okay, interesting. And then a question about the receipts. Do you have to have the physical receipts? Like, I know you can take a picture and upload it to like QuickBooks or whatever you're using. I know like some people will receipts and then they just go back to like their credit card statements and try to make notes on that. Thoughts on that?
So from a CRA's perspective, you actually need to have like either a physical receipt or like a digital receipt, and having the bank and credit card statements aren't sufficient enough.
Okay.
And you need to keep your records for 6 years for each tax year. Yeah. So it's really important that digital is what I recommend, because ink tends to fade over time, or we have these crumpled up receipts where we don't even know where we put them.
Mm-hmm. Or it's that shoebox full of receipts that accountants love, yeah. Right? That's my dad is that person with his business. He's here's all the receipts at the end of the year, here's the bag. And I'm just like, I can't do that. Okay, so I will make sure to link your guide, your tax write-off guide, in the show notes below so everyone can download that, guys. It is so amazing. Like when she sent it over to me, I was like blown away by how many things that you could write off that you don't even think about, like nails, for instance. Never even thought about that. I also want to link yours because it is so valuable for so many people. So I'll make sure to link that there too. But I do have one more question for you. And I actually asked all of my interviewees on the More Than Social podcast this. If you could give one piece of advice to a fellow entrepreneur, does not have to be accounting related whatsoever, what would that one piece of advice be?
It would be to just believe in yourself. Like starting a business, like you have that idea and you really just want to start, but you don't know how, just start moving and doing the things. Like the how will just come up, and just like believe in yourself and trust in yourself. And a lot of times like we're doubting ourselves. We're thinking like, why am I putting myself out there? What are people going to think? But people are going to think things regardless of what you're doing and how you do it. So just put yourself out there, because you never know what's going to come out of it. Like as an accountant, just being behind a desk, faxes, I never thought I would be here or doing these kind of things. Like I would have never imagined it, but it's just like that one day I was listening to like the Mindset Mentor from Rob Dial, and it's just like something just clicked in my mind, and it's just like I don't want to work at a firm for the rest of my life. It's like it's not sustainable. I'm not passionate about it, but it's like I have this designation. What more can I do with it that I'm able to help more people and make a bit bigger impact?
I love that. I love it. I love it when it just like clicks in. Like you're only a year and a half into it now, and it's like, Cindy, you're just getting started, and what's going to happen over the next couple years, 5 years, even 10 years from now, you're going to be mind blown. And my biggest piece of advice to you right now is remember where you've came from. Like the days right now that you're setting all this up and like you're in the beginning stages with online courses and all that stuff, like 5 years from now, you're going to forget what you've gone through. So in some way, whatever works for you, just remember where you've come from, because it's so easy just to like, it's going to go by so fast.
Thank you. I appreciate that advice.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for all of this. You've given a lot of people lots of ideas in terms of what they can actually do differently within their business versus just the stereotypical things that people think that they have to do in a specific industry. So thank you so much. Again, I will link your guide as well as your course in the show notes for anyone who has any questions about how to keep more money in your pocket versus sending it all to the tax man, or if you have any questions about write-offs or anything like that, reach out to Cindy. I highly recommend talking to her. She is a wealth of knowledge. And Cindy, thank you so much for being here. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa, for having me again.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me on this episode. I am so grateful that you show up each and every week. I hope these tips and tricks have brought you some new ideas and new inspiration for your business. If you love this conversation, let me hear it. Leave us a rating and review on the More Than Social podcast, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Share it with someone who you know needs this message, and together, let's make an impact and let's make a business that we love. I'll see you next week.